You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern-day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me to discuss everything that went down during the junior tournament is Dr. Jonathan.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to get into this tournament and all of the many thoughts that we have about it.
Yeah, we've been waiting a while to record this. We both got so sick recently, so we had to keep pushing it back, but we're finally here. We're finally talking about this junior tournament because, like you said, there is a lot to go through. I'm just going to ask, like, straight away, the first question. What did you like more, the Champion Carnival or this junior tournament?
The junior tournament.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, this year's Champion Carnival felt like a missed opportunity in some ways. And I thought it was good, but it wasn't brilliant. I've definitely seen better Champion Carnivals, and this one just felt like there was, we'll get into this, but this tournament, we said off air, there wasn't anyone bad in this tournament at all. This was all killer in the lineup and just not a wasted match on here.
Yeah, like when the Champion Carnival happened, there was so much hate for it. And I really liked it. There were some really, really good standout matches. But like for this, it was so much better than the Champion Carnival, I thought. And the fact that nobody was talking about it, I think because the G1 was on at the same time. So it kind of got overshadowed by the G1. But just straight away, like if you have time, we'll mention some matches that you should really, really go back and watch because this was just so good.
I mean, I'm glad you bring that up because I like this better than I did the G1. I'm a huge fan of the G1, and this year's was better than some people were saying, but just, I know that you occasionally get people who are listening to this show who are actually not All Japan fans. So I know we managed to convert Christy into the giant barber way of life, to follow the royal road. If there is anyone listening to this that was disappointed by this year's G1, check out this tournament. There's nothing overly long. There's nothing that's too much. Even my dog has opinions on it. You can hear complaining about how little attention this tournament's getting.
Yeah, it really is a shame. So, like, good thing there's this podcast so it can get some attention. So this podcast is just going to be a little bit different from the rest. We're going to start with some heavyweight talk that happened during the junior tournament. Then we're going to dive into the tournament. And then we have a bonus review for you that we'll be able to do since we pushed back the episode since we're sick. So look forward to that. But we're going to start with like a bit of heavyweight talk. So the World Tag Team Champions have new owners. Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi lost the belts to Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo. Jun Saito defeated Riki Honda to retain the Triple Crown Championship. That's his sixth successful defense, which is crazy. But for me, the most exciting news is that Nani Nomura is back in All Japan. For how long he's sticking around for, we don't know as we're recording, but he was announced as a surprise participant in the Royal Road Tournament. We'll get to that later. When I saw his picture come up, like my hand like literally shot straight to my mouth and I cried tears of joy.
Yeah.
Like no lying. The journey I have been on with this man is such a long and painful one. Like, you know, as well as I do, Jonathan, like just how annoying this man is because he keeps coming and going. But he's back. And the most important thing is he gave up his ugly long pants. He's back in the shorts.
Yeah. So he actually did a bunch of Noah shows earlier this year. Like, some of Noah's, they kind of got these offshoot shows, I guess you'd call them, like Monday Magic and the other one that I can't remember, Limit Break, right? They're not their main shows, but he showed up, he wore the short tights, and it was, well, I guess he's going to be in Noah now. And then He got booked here. So that is, it's just so good that he is back, and he's had such great matches in the past. I, as much as they can book him and to whatever extent that they can get him, I think it's worth it. Like whatever they have to pay him to make this happen.
Yeah, like I was watching them announce who was in the Railroad, and I was thinking, is there gonna be any surprises? As soon as I thought that, his face came up. And like, it's funny because I read all the time in books, like, oh, my jaw dropped to the floor, my
Yeah.
hand covered my mouth. And I'm like, that doesn't happen in real life, but it happens to me. That's what I did. And I'm just like so happy he's back. He had a fantastic match with Ricky Honda. They just went for it, like elbows the whole time, trying to kill each other. The match went for a while, and his recent matches have been really, really short. So I was wondering how short this one's going to be. But no, he went for a while, and I think Honda was the perfect opponent. And I love, 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 love that All Japan gave him the two most annoying wrestlers they have on the roster as his first two singles matches back. So Ricky Honda and Umeo Yagi. That's my favorite thing about this whole thing.
And I'm sure we want to get more into the railroad later, but the whole thing here is that we can continue, hopefully, that ongoing bit where Yuma doesn't get out of the first round
Yes.
of the railroad tournament.
We hope it continues. Did you want to talk about any other heavyweight stuff?
Oh, it's just the tag title changing hands. I think that match was fucking awesome. Do check that out if you haven't. I know. I'm probably a million recommendations this week, but that match was my favorite on that card. I think the other match that we're going to talk about a little bit later was also really, really good. But this one, as far as the match where the tag titles changed hands, it's so good to see new tag belts as well.
Yeah. Oh,
They've been
yeah.
around
Sorry.
forever. They
Yes.
needed
Mention
those.
that, please. Yeah. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, just like they finally replaced the old decaying old NWA International Tag Title and PWF tag team titles with some new ones that look just like the old ones did, but a new, slightly bigger leather that kind of look like an updated version of the old ones. It's just good to see that respect showed to these old belts, and it's something we've been calling for forever.
And it's good that they kept the two belts, not just, put into one belt. Like the Triple Crown went from three to one. The
Yeah.
tag belts have stayed two belts.
And it's also just one of those things where it's a link to the past, like All Japan has, but it's updated enough to have something new, which again is something I think about all the time when I think about All Japan. And yeah, we could do a whole episode on belts, but I think for the purpose of this though, it's just cool to see Hideki Suzuki after he signed getting rewarded with something. And that match, as far as all of this went, there was nothing I didn't like about this. Those the participants in that too, none of them have bad matches, it seems. And unless I'm somehow forgetting some secret terrible match that any of those had, I think they're four of the most consistent workers in the world. So absolutely check out that if you haven't yet.
I just want to say one more thing about the tag thing. So, what I liked about Hideki's tag challenge is he came out by himself and he was going to challenge Yuma and Kento for the belts. And I was just thinking, do it, you coward. Like, don't be a coward. Get him out here. All I wanted was Kengo Mashimo out. He brought Kengo Mashimo. He's such a fantastic wrestler, and I'm glad he's sticking around a bit more in All Japan with his belts. So, yes. Even though, like, I love Kento and Yuma, I love business tag, I'm glad Kengo has a belt.
Plus, it means that we get to keep Kengo around because he has to defend the title. So,
You can't leave that easily.
exactly. I mean, he has tag titles, I found out, in 01, 2AW, and one other promotion on top of that. So, he's everywhere nowadays, as he should be.
Yeah, definitely. So that was a bit about the heavyweight stuff. We're going to dive into the junior tournament because there's a lot to talk about. We're going to start off with the finals, which was Asuki Aoyagi versus Rising Hayato. And in my opinion, the only way for this tournament to end was this match. And we were lucky that it turned out to be an amazing match. I think it hits me more since I've been watching these two since their partnership slash rivalry since it started, like since Hayato stepped foot in All Japan. It had this little spot of reversals that made me think of the Musashi and Seki reversal spot in their match. Asking Hayato weren't on their level, but give them more time and they'll be that level definitely. Hayato jumping from the balcony was just such a fucking cool spot. Like, we don't get this stuff in All Japan all the time. So, like, just to see, I'm like, holy crap, this is so cool. Even though I know people are gonna like complain, like Asuki was just standing there, like, I don't care. I don't care. Asuki could be standing there for like 5 minutes. I don't care. Hayato
Honestly,
jumping
like,
off the balcony was cool. He had like, some blood on his face. A bit of blood never, ever hurt a match. It adds to a match. Near the end, there was this really cool spot where Hayato was on top of Asuki and just slapping his chest over and over again. And Asuki kind of rolled over and just elbowed him. And it's like, okay, this isn't just a wrestling match. This is a fight. Like, these guys really, really want to win this. They're going all out. They were so desperate to win. Asuki, with his trusty Firebird Splash, got the win and took the place almost at the top of the junior division. We'll get to that very, very soon. And afterwards, the moment these two guys had with the hug was just so sweet. And I just can't wait to see this rivalry take us in the future.
I might have actually even enjoyed this more than the other match that you highlighted there, as far as,
Ooh.
yeah, as far as Mucha and Seichen. I'd need to rewatch that match too. It's definitely up there too. But this one's near the top for me for match of the year in general, and as far as All Japan match of the year, like, just giving these guys the main event, giving them the spotlight and the time that this had, I think was really important here. And just that, like, so many intangibles with wrestling. Like, wrestling's not just like wrestling matches aren't like clocks. You know, they don't just work by having all the right components and having everything you want. Like, you have things that make certain matches cool or certain matches work that are less tangible. And you mentioned them all there, but like Hayato's blood, like, you can't see where he's bleeding from. And his hair covers up most of his face anyway. So then his blonde hair. More wrestlers should have bleach blonde hair because it's better when they bleed. And it's something we haven't seen in a little while. But the kind of bleach blonde with the blood through it always is a massive, cool visual in wrestling. And yeah, just that added a lot to it. And look, who cares if Asuki was standing there for too long? Honestly, I don't think so. Like, who's looking at him? It's one of those things where I think you said it all perfectly as far as this match goes. I think, again, criminal the extent to which this hasn't received attention is the only other thing I would say to it. Like, I think the two really polished wrestlers, and my own I said to this to you before we started recording, my only complaint about this tournament is we saw the final coming from a mile away, and we knew that, like, well in advance from them being in A block and B block, that these two would meet in the final. And sometimes, though, that obviousness is not the worst thing. Sometimes you see that coming and it's the logical conclusion. But outside of that, no complaints. Certainly, they've demonstrated that they can make this work. If you look at the numbers that they got in Ota Ward that night, they had 2,020 people, which, if I've got all of this accurately, that's the biggest attendance in Ota Ward for an Ota Ward show for quite a few promotions. I think New Japan did less than that for one of their G1 shows. So did a few other companies. So it's a very healthy crowd for this match to attract, and they've demonstrated they can do it. We've got proof of concept now. I think they just need to go back to this, do the same tournament again next year, and give them the main event again.
Definitely. I'm glad they kept the main event because it's so easy for All Japan to just say, here's a heavyweight main event. But they gave this guy the main event. They gave them time. This is the second main event they've had. Like, if you listen to my junior tournament preview show, I talked about the main event they had back in the clap only era where Asuki first won the belt from Tiger Mask. And then they had that main event at Korakuen, and it really was special. And this is just that times 10.
I mean, it's also an interesting kind of situation where these guys are very young in the grand scheme of things, and yet have been at it for a few years now. They've had time to perfect this. Like, they could do this match again at some point
Yeah.
and continue to capitalize on it and continue to kind of even do better than what we saw.
Like, and I think The good thing is, like, anybody in this tournament could have had one of these spots. And the fact that these two guys had it is just, it's fine, but I'm just like, anyone could have this spot. That's how good the junior division is right now.
Yep.
So we'll get into the junior tournament. I just want to start off by saying this tournament was fantastic. Like I said before, everybody was on their A game. I think what helped this is that all these guys are so familiar with each other. And we don't see that in the Champion Carnival. They got people who have never been there before, have never wrestled in Japan before. And it's just kind of like, okay, how are these guys going to mesh? How are they going to work together? But we know all these guys go together. It doesn't matter how much you mix the blocks up, they're all going to do well. They're all going to have fantastic matches with each other. So that's a point for them. These guys have been busting their butts for ages without anything to show for it, like no tournaments, nothing really special. So for Japan to finally give the junior tournament and have these guys like who stuck around for like years, this like special spot and like, heavyweights are pushed to the side. I was very, very happy. So for A Block, we have Rising Haito. I'm going to start with him. He just had an excellent showing in the tournament. Like, I think he was the number one guy, honestly. Ever since teaming with Anzai, he has kind of switched to more of an underdog position, which I don't mind because he's really, really good at getting beaten up, which is, always a plus in my book. And making a comeback. And the crowd is always, always, always 100% behind him. Like, no matter who he's facing, like, they're going to cheer so loud for this guy.
He's someone who I think is going to be a big leader in this company for years ahead, who like will be taking the junior division to spots it hasn't really ever been. I mean, this whole thing, certainly traditionally with Giant Barb is all Japan, having any kind of spotlight on the junior division at all was unheard of. It was kind of a forgotten thing. And I think someone like Hayato could be the star that takes them to more positions like this. And just again, relatively young still, and someone who is so good. Just yeah, more people should be talking about this guy.
For Rei Inoue, a lot of people thought he was going to win. It actually ended up going so far that All Japan held a vote. Like, who do you think is going to win? Like, one, two, three. I think one was Asuki, three was Hayato, and two was Inoue. So people were really, really behind him. He ended up with only one win, but it was a big one. And, like, that's okay because this tournament is just so small that, like, one win. A lot of people actually got one win or like two wins. I do want to point out that him losing to Hikaru Sato in just a couple of minutes isn't the first time this happened. I think it was 2022 where he lost in even a shorter time than that. Like, I don't know if this is going to be like a thing going forward where like he keeps losing to Hikaru Sato in just like under 5 minutes and he gets the big win like when he needs to. But I'm going to see where it goes. But I think he had one of the best matches in the tournament against Seki Yoshioka.
Yeah, I love that match actually. Now you mention it. I love this guy in general. He was that you were at the show as well. The Yoyogi show in December, like on New Year's Eve last year, he was the one that maybe got the biggest cheers of the night and just has that kind of potential to get the crowd behind him. Is such a little rat bastard and so absolutely horrendous as a human being when he wants to be. I love him so much. I think in a way, if he can stay healthy and if he can kind of stick at what he's doing now, he'll have some signature wins by the end of this year. I figure he's primed at a point where they could do some big things with him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want him to get a big win, like even a belt somehow. I think my prediction was like Inoue would win a belt by the end of the year, so fingers crossed it happens.
Even if he goes into some kind of raffle and wins a leather belt for his pants, then that would technically be in keeping with your prediction.
Would.
But I mean, we were just discussing off air earlier before we started recording. We were talking about this. Those six-man tag titles right now are kind of in a state where they don't mean a whole lot. They're kind of the comedy belts. Get Rio in a way, two partners, get him strapped up with those belts. He would do something with them.
Very, very good point. He is tagging with the Aoyagi brothers in Dragon Gate for a bit, so why not Keep them as a like a little tag.
Oh, geez, those three, the chaos that they would cause. Like, you'd have Yuma as like the older brother who's the less like the less sane brother out of all of them, and you have, in a way, being like unable to stand either of them and load both of his own tag partners, that like the chaos they would make. Yeah, do that.
Definitely.
Why has it not become a thing already? I love that idea.
Oh, Japan don't like fun.
Yeah.
So for Hikaru Sato, I will forever love his ability to deliver a submission out of nowhere, wrestlers being pinned 1 second and the next locked in a submission. I do still feel like he's a credible threat. He can still go with the rest of the juniors. Although I didn't think he would be winning this tournament, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up with a new another junior heavyweight title in his career. Like, because I just really like him and I think he's just so good. And even like with his age and not even signed to All Japan, he's still as much as All Japan as any signed junior.
I mean, when we saw him at Kurikan Hall this year in January, he had a signing or he had something where he was there and he was wearing one of the Old Japan jerseys. Now, he didn't come out to the ring with the rest of them, but he's as much a part of, like you say, as much a part of the company as anyone who's actually signed with them. Like, he's on every show that he can make. He does a lot of other stuff as well. And the guy is clearly a bit of a pervert, a bit of a strange dude, and very strange sense of humor. I was so glad to see that not come out during this tournament and to see him rein that in and just kind of there were some comedy parts in these matches. Like, I loved the part where Rising Hayato sat on the top rope while Ikara Sato is doing his bullshit with like lying on the ground, like daring him to come and grab. Just kind of slowly edging toward the ring rope. That was hilarious. Like that kind of comedy I don't mind, and I thought that was really cool. They had a great match too. Did Hikaru Sato and Rising Hayato. That was a really good match. But yeah, look, this was a great tournament for him. Sato's one of those guys. He can do well any spot in the card that you plug him into at any point. I would not be opposed to him maybe one day doing a champion carnival again. Like, I think he's done that before, if I'm not mistaken. I could be completely incorrect on that one. No, yes, he maybe I'm incorrect on that one, actually, completely.
I would have no idea.
No, he hasn't done the actual tournament. He's appeared on other champion carnival shows, is what comes up. But I would absolutely like, he could be a player in a champion carnival for sure. He could be in anything that you want him to do.
Just breaking the heavyweight's arms.
Yeah. And then returning to the junior division with some
Yeah.
arms collection.
For Saigo Tachibana, now I don't really have much for him. He's just really become a reliable hand for All Japan. Give him like any singles match and he's gonna shine. The crowd love him and he's always having a good time in his stupid glasses and like his taunt and stuff. All Japan like must know this since he's been a champion before, and I wouldn't mind him being a junior champion. I really like this guy. Like everybody he goes against, he really brings out the best, like annoys the hell out of them, but that's because he's Sego Tachibana. Yeah, I'm so glad they put him in this tournament, really.
It is crazy that he hasn't had the junior title, and like he had that awesome reign, like that incredible reign with the Gara TV title, a belt that so many people, it's not exactly one of the most prestigious belts or something we say, hey, before him, you wouldn't hear too many people say, hey, remember that awesome Gara TV title match? But if you say that about Tachibana, there's like two to three matches that immediately spring to mind. He and Dan Tamura had that amazing Kurikan match for the belt last year. And like, yeah, give him the junior title, absolutely, because he's not held that as far as I'm aware.
But I just have to have a like a think then like who is actually holding the Garo TV title right now. Like I totally forgot it's what's his name? Takashi. Like
Yeah, like, I mean, I love Takashi. Okay, I shouldn't love him, right? There's nothing about this man that strikes me as my traditional kind of wrestler that I think is good. Not great at the ring. He doesn't have good matches, but he's over like crazy. And there's some, again, I talked about this earlier about these intangibles with wrestling. It's just you see this weird looking dude who makes all these terrible songs and like punches his opponents in the throat repeatedly. There's something about that. If you don't love that, then do you have a beating heart? You know, like, yeah. So, but yeah, not someone who should be holding the Gaara title right now.
Yeah.
So I do hope he drops that belt soon. I mean, we've listed a few wrestlers here who could be a great replacement for him in holding that, if
Meh.
in a way, if not, shit, anyone in this tournament, really.
Even if he gives it back to Miyamoto, I had to think he was a champion before Takashi. Yeah. Because he had a really, really good reign.
Just such a great wrestler. Someone who, if they can book him more, that's always good.
And the last person in Block A was Seki Yoshioka. I do feel like if you're a champion going into a tournament, you have more eyes on you and more pressure. I kind of felt that with Anzai and June when they were Triple Crown champions in the Champion Carnival. But for the tour here, we have Seki. He's such a professional and as cool as they come. He did not have any pressure on him at all. He was in his element here. He looked cocky, in control, and dominant, and that's what we needed him to be. His matches with the younger guys were amazing. The spots he gave Haito and Inoue to really shine just proved how good he is and why he deserves this spot.
He is at this kind of point where I think All Japan should make a real run at trying to sign him. And I know he probably values being independent. I know he's a freelancer and he has shows for Zero One and a few other places. But Hideki Suzuki used to talk about how much he loved being a freelancer and about being independent was important to him. And he signed. So I think if you can sign Hideki as someone as independently minded as that, then surely at least try with Seki. I mean, just one of those guys that is so good right now. And, you know, those champions you mentioned, they didn't have the best champion carnivals when they were champion. Like, I love Anzai, right? He might be my favorite wrestler in the world right now. But his champion carnival when he was champion wasn't really at the level you would hope that a champion might be, or the same, I think, with June, as far as that last champion carnival went. So Seki kind of just showed you like this is what the champion needs to be in this tournament. If he's not going to win, and if he's not going to be in the final, he needs to have the best matches and show out. And I think he absolutely did that. His match against Hayato on the first night, I believe it was, tournament, just fucking phenomenal. There's a
Yeah.
spot where they reverse a, I think it was a bastard driver, it's called. It's like a move where they drop their opponent on their head. And there was like a little reversal spot there, ends up with someone being, I forget exactly who, but someone gets dropped on their head and it looked amazing.
That's another match to go watch again. I was, yeah, very, very good. I just watching Seki because he just has this smile and it's like I'm gonna fuck you up with kick
Yeah.
smile, it's what's coming next.
Absolutely vicious and yeah, just an asset, I think.
Yeah, even if he becomes like a Hikaru Sato figure who's not signed to the company, but he still shows up a lot, like Naruki Doi is kinda. He's showing up all the time.
Yeah.
So we have B Block now, and we're just gonna start off with Musashi. He's just so good. I love Musashi so much. Just like Segetsu Tachibana, he's such a good hand to have in All Japan. He's an older guy. He knows what to do. He can show these younger guys the ropes or just help them improve so much. Help their game. He had a fine tournament. I think it was okay, but he's just great.
As far as Musashi goes, someone who I thought was going to be in the final this year, like I was surprised he wasn't. Outside of Hayato and Atsuki, I thought that was like my other prediction. If those two didn't make their way through, I thought Musashi definitely. When he left Michinoku Pro and said, "The next thing I do, you'll understand why I've left." And I think that was roughly when he started doing shows for All Japan just before he signed. I was glad that that was what resulted from all that. Like, it was good to see that All Japan got him. And yeah, he's absolutely one of those guys that I love the bit with him never being able to speak, for instance. Someone always interrupts him and just clearly shown his value to the company to the point where he's the vice president of their player association and stuff like that. Like, just, yeah, very valuable guy.
Yeah. Like he came in from like Michinoku Pro, like you said, straight away, like he was in the mix. He had the All Asia tag belts. He became the vice president of, like you said, player relations. So you know, like they value him so much. And we love Musashi on this podcast. Okay, so Dan Tamura, congratulations to Dan and Abe for having one of the best All Japan matches this year. Seriously, like the first match of the tournament, opening match, I was like, holy crap, like how are people going to follow this? But Dan was his amazing self as always. I wasn't pulling for Dan to win or thought he would, but I wouldn't be disappointed at all if he made the finals or actually ended up winning because he put so much effort into it. I do like that he just beats the hell out of his opponents. Like he slaps lariats, headbutts were all deadly. But for the B block finals, he was with against Asuki. He went to target Asuki's leg, which I get because Asuki's a high flyer, but like he didn't go as hard as he did with other people. I'm like, wow, like he moves away from his moveset once and he loses. He loses the block. Like, I don't know if that's what they want, but I really like if that's like a little story. He should have gone Killer Instinct and just beat up Husky. But like in the end, Dan's amazing and we need just like more and more people to know how good he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, I feel of two minds about this because he is so good in the junior division. But he's someone else who, like, I'm not going to say this about very many guys. The junior division is amazing and they shouldn't go anywhere. But I think he would add so much to the heavyweights as far as the Triple Crown title picture if they were to elevate him and give him the chance. Like, he looks like an old school All Japan wrestler. And I think, like, he's a smaller guy for the heavyweights, I guess, and a big guy for the juniors. But someone who, again, could be the Gaara champion or would elevate a champion carnival by being a part of it, was awesome in this tournament. Just, yeah, I think that too. Like, the thing about that's cool about pro wrestling with the stories is maybe they were going for that, maybe not, but you're absolutely able to interpret it that way. And yeah, the idea that he was drawn out of his comfort zone and kind of, instead of just doing the big boy stuff, the stuff he murders people with, ended up playing to someone else's hands. Like, I think that's perfect.
One thing I do love about Dan is just like how plain he looks compared to the other juniors. So you come in looking at Hayato, you come in looking at Asuki, like they're shiny, they're so colorful, and Dan's just here in these black trunks, black boots, black, knee pads. But then he just surprises you so much with his wrestling it. He's improved so much over the years. And just to see him go from this like red mohawk, mini Sawama to this like guy who will like literally lariat your head off and not even like care, it's been so much fun to watch.
Again, just someone who for so long had next to nothing to work with and had kind of no wins, no discernible push, but just works hard regardless and just has the best match regardless of whether he's going to win or not. Just, yeah, someone they should give him the world, I think.
Yeah. The thing is, I can't remember where I read it, but like somewhere, someone was like, oh, I never, exp you wouldn't think Yuma Aoyagi would be heavyweight, like seeing him in his junior weight because he was just so skinny and so little. It's just like, maybe that's the way people see Dan. And then like the next thing, he's a heavyweight, next thing, he's Triple Crown champion. So we can hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone who, like, even without a giant push, has given us everything he has. Just imagine what he could do if push.
So for Asuki Aoyagi, the eventual winner of Block B, I had this problem I had with Kento in the Champion Carnival, and it's just that I knew he was going to get far and what to expect from him, so I wasn't too interested in his matches in Block B as I was with other people, say like Dan. I need a change from Asuki, like not a huge one, but like just something. Like looking at wrestlers who debuted with him. Like Hokuto went through so many trying to find something that stuck. And now he has his own faction. Like I said, Dan went from like a redhead mohawk to Solama Jr. to now this silent killer. Usky is still just kind of Usky, if you know what I mean. Like, look at what Ranayama is doing. He's getting like a little bit meaner and meaner in each match he's in. And like he has these taunts now. I really, really like Usky. Like, no, I have no problem with him wrestling or anything. It's just that I wish he just got, I don't know, just this little bit meaner with him, or just smug, or just something. He's so much fun in the ring. I don't know. I just need like a little tweak to him.
He like something that is really good about All Japan, which not enough people really give it credit for, is the evolution of so many of these guys and the way that they change and have grown over time. Like the fact that we get to see that with it being such a young roster, that he needs to demonstrate either just a change in look or kind of something different. Like years ago, like I think it was last year or the year before, he said he wanted to be in the next champion carnival,
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he?
and then he got injured. Yeah, that's a, you know, shows up, declares for champion carnival, breaks leg, refuses to elaborate. But I mean, just again attempting something, right? Attempting to do something different. And I think that, you know, that's the best thing about this tournament, is it's something we haven't seen a thousand times before with the juniors in the main event, with them getting this highlight. So to have, I think, something new, move anything really, would be good for him. It was an awesome match though, where he won the belt, and we'll get into all that and where he won this tournament, but just certainly needs to take that next big step forward.
So I read this before I did my review of Usky versus Hayato, and him just like elbowing the hell out of Hayato when he's on the ground, and you know he couldn't protect himself. That's what I want from Usky. I just want this anger and this passion to just, I don't know, explode in the ring, because I know he has it. I know.
He may need someone to bring him out of that, and someone who can like wrestle him, who can take him out of the comfort zone and to deliver on that. Like, she maybe the way forward could be give him a match against Inoue at some point, have Inoue challenge him and have Inoue do his disgusting stuff and kick him as hard as he can, you know, bring some anger out of him that way.
Maybe we'll see. I think anyway, he's definitely gonna challenge. But before we get to challenges, we've got to talk about Fumanori Abe. Like, he is just fantastic, like full stop. Him getting one win doesn't really bother me. Like I said, it was a really small tournament, and his win was crucial to keep Musashi out, so it was like an important win. But I don't have much for him, because he's just like in tag singles or whatever, he's fantastic. He's always gonna, you know, go out and just show how good he is. And he works really, really well with the juniors. I'm just a little bit disappointed that he wasn't with Rhea Inoue, because like in the past couple of years, him and his tag partner, Takumi Nomura, they've been working a lot with Inoue, if you notice. So I'm a little bit disappointed, but like, come on, the people who he was with are fantastic. Like, the match with Dan is a definitely go back and watch this match
Was that at First Ring or was that?
with Inoue.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there was one of his matches he had at First Ring in particular was one I went, no, this is amazing, and everything that he needs to be doing, even though it's a small crowd. Yeah, just one of those venues I'm yet to go to that looks awesome, and regardless of kind of how small that crowd is, you could tell he's putting in the effort to get people on side, which is always really nice.
So, last person, it's got to be Naruki Doi. I got two sentences for him. So, Naruki Doi, I love your two wins came from sneaky, cheeky pins. It fits you like a glove.
I remember when Naruki Doi was first booked for All Japan 2 years ago, so the second and the third in 2023, those shows, one of them he teamed up with Minoru Suzuki, and just since then has been an awesome asset for this company. And I don't know, I felt like this
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Tournament, he deserved a bit more than what he got, I think, in terms of results. But yeah, it's hard to argue when it's such a small tournament. And yeah, I think just one of these guys, one of these wrestlers who is good in everything he does. Yeah, just hard, you run out of good things to say about him.
Yeah.
He's such a sneaky little bastard.
I remember when he first came to All Japan and Asuka was going through challenge after challenge, and you knew Naruhito was coming up. I'm like, that's who is going to lose the belt to 100% definitely. And he did.
His first title run was so good too.
Yeah.
Not the second one, not so much. But the first one, I thought elevated the belt quite well. Yeah, I love that faction that he had where he was teaming with Suzuki and with
Omori.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then they just went nowhere with it. Like, I guess maybe it was hard to get Suzuki's bookings or something happened there. But yeah, I mean, hard to disparage it. We ended up with Hokuto-gun and everything else. But yeah, certainly can't help but ask myself what might have been with that faction.
Oh, we have to say it was Minoru Suzuki, not Hideki, in case you're getting confused. Because
we only managed to get Suzuki for that one show last year too. But anyway, I'm really shifting away from this tournament, aren't I? Yeah, again, Doi was great in this because he's great in everything he does. I would have liked to have seen him featured that little bit higher up, but wasn't to be. And I don't know, two wins is not too bad in a tournament like this.
Yeah. And like, he's like Mr. Sato, so he'll be fine.
Other question, actually, just looking at this tournament, you look at this lineup, there isn't anyone bad in this thing at all. There's no one here that is wasted. If they do this tournament again, and if we can actually see it become an annual event, would you want them to just keep this exact same format, or would you have liked them to have gone even bigger, maybe six per block or something like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want them to go like Champion Carnival, like no way that big. Even if they do like one more person per block, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, they have like a little working relationship with Dragon Gate, like get a Dragon Gate wrestler in there, or like someone like on the freelance. Even who's that guy that's been working with All Japan?
From Dragon Gate?
No.
Oh, I have the one. So from OSW.
Yeah.
So he...
his name,
it's not occurring to me either, but he's someone who I've been saying they should sign.
Yeah,
because he's absolutely one of these guys that just shows the potential. I'm sorry I can't remember his name either. That's okay.
They used to have a tag tournament, the juniors. I don't mind that they don't have it anymore, because they seem to kind of combine that with the heavyweight tag tournament, since like, a lot of the juniors are in that. So I don't mind if they skip that or do that every second year, but just keep this junior tournament every year.
Yeah, I think so. He absolutely would have been, and everyone here that's listening to this probably knows who we refer to, someone who absolutely could have been an extra person for one of these blocks. Was booked throughout the tournament anyway, for the most part, wasn't he? Like, he was on a few shows.
Yeah, but just hopefully, like, one of these days, Nagao can come back and be in this tournament, because, you know, like, the fans will cheer for him over anybody in this tournament.
If he's able to return,
he's,
I mean, ultimately, the biggest thing here has to be that he's able to recover.
Yeah.
That has some quality of life, that he's healthy. That has to come before pro wrestling. That's more important. But ultimately, if he's ever able to return, the pop that he gets is fucking huge. And yeah, I think we'll see him get some signature wins. My weirdest dream match is him against this one rookie that is in Pro Wrestling Noah at the moment, right? So Nagao wears the green tights, and this guy that's in Noah wears the red tights. I'm trying to think of his name. He actually Yeah, Daiki Odashima, he is someone who, that's my dream match, is Nagao against him. Like those two rookies who are amazing at getting beaten up and amazing at beating other people up. Yeah, that I know it's a strange dream match to have, but hopefully we get to see that and his career's not done.
Like, remember when we had the New Japan rookies come in? That was great. So why not more rookies? Because you know they're just gonna go out there and prove that they're so good. They're gonna put like 100% effort in, like even 110% effort, because they're the rookies and they have to show just how good they are.
Yeah, entirely.
So yeah, All Japan keep this tournament every year because it is the best tournament you have. The juniors, they need something to show off because they're just too good to just be pin takers in heavyweight matches.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to keep them entirely separate or mostly separate from your heavyweights to preserve this division, feel free to do that. Though I think it would be better to have them in meaningful spots up and down the card and not necessarily have them be the ones that lose all the time. Absolutely. They've demonstrated that they can do this, and we've seen proof of concept in this tournament. Do this again, do this every year, give them the main event spot again.
Yeah, but I think they're in a really, really good position. I was looking back at some of the junior champions since the bell was reintroduced in 2020, and holy crap, it's just a load of crap there. Like, super crazy. As much as I love Izanagi, like Izanagi was there, Sugi was there, Tiger Mask, I hated his reign.
I think I was the person in the world who liked the Tiger Mask reign because at the time, right, my son was not going yet to preschool, wasn't yet going to daycare. So I had him, I want to say 2 days a week, which meant when All Japan did their weekday shows, he ended up watching with me and he loved Tiger Mask. He loved him. I need to show him some of the other Tiger Masks before him, you know, like when Misawa had it and stuff like that. But so he would sit there, he'd stay glued to the TV when the Tiger Mask matches were on. So it's impossible for me to hate this reign, even though it was objectively dog shit and terrible in the matches. my son watched pro wrestling with me, so there's so much I can hate about it.
So on that note, let's move to our bonus review episode, or show, I should say. So we head to Matsumoto City Gym. It's the hometown of the Aoyagi brothers, and both brothers were involved in title matches, so this was like a big deal. And I was like, yep, double champion incoming. We're going to have Asuki as junior champion, Yuma as triple crown champion. We'll get to that. But going over the card, we had Hideki Suzuki defeating Ryu Inoue. Six-man tag team titles, Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and Takashi defeated Kurusho Tokyo Japan, Sega Tachibana, and Shirakoshi Naka. Dan Tamura and Ryzen Hayato defeated Nuriki Doi and Senyu Sato. Shota Ishino, Zion, and Odyssey defeated Dave Boy Smith Jr., Kenta Miyahara, and Musashi. Rene Abe and Talos defeated Daisuke Sekimoto and Riki Honda. In the junior heavyweight title match, Asuki Aoyagi defeated Seki Yoshioka to become the new champion. And in the Triple Crown title match, Jun Sato defeated Yuma Aoyagi to retain. I just want to have a little note about the team of Rene Abe and Talos. I want to apologize to Talos because in the last review, I was like, I don't really care for this guy. But he looks like, he seems like a really nice guy. He's having so much fun in his position. I think I like him better now. He's left Hokuto, the Hokuto Army. And he's with Ayabe now. It's just like two tall guys. It just reminds me of Tsuji Ishikawa and Rene Abe when they had their team. It was like, am I crazy? Or was it called like Heights or something? Like something
Oh, that's one of the names for it. Yeah.
yeah, something stupid like that. So Talos has actually gone back to America, I believe. So this team's a thing. So he has to be coming back for the tag league. I don't see why wouldn't they bring him back for the tag league. So Talos, I apologize for saying I don't care. You're one of the guys they brought in who don't have horrible allegations with them. And he seems like he's having a fun time. Honestly, he seems like he's really, really enjoying his time in All Japan.
Yeah, he actually had I think it was his 34th or his 35th birthday while on tour. And you can tell that he was happy to do that and happy to be over there for his birthday, that he's kicking big goals. And him teaming with Ayabe just makes sense. It's one of the old Japan, traditionally the land of the giants kind of teams. So, yeah, I think too, like the other time he's been in wrestling, the other company he's worked for has been the NWA. And given the current state of the modern day company called NWA, I think he should prioritize All Japan. I think that's where we see him, that he'll show up more often. And yeah, just one of those guys that I just about recoiled from my chair the first time they showed him, like when he first walked out. And yeah, before that they teamed, when you had that match with them against each other, the sight of Ayabe hitting his move on him, that was spectacular. That was, yeah. I think these two are a great team. And yeah, again, as you say, hopefully for Tag League, it's odd to have a tag tournament that we look forward to. Definitely not something you have with New Japan. But yeah, All Japan absolutely have that. And definitely, I would hope to see these guys back for that one.
I love that for a new tag team, they're just like, yeah, these two guys are tall, just stick them together. They don't really have to have anything in common besides that they're tall.
Like, again, and like, but you see it, and it kind of makes sense in a weird way. Like,
You want to talk about any other matches before we get to the two big ones?
oh no, I think we've pretty well covered it. I think it's been, it's been interesting for sure, and definitely interesting direction of this company at the moment. Yeah, I think we'll get to those two big ones you wanted to discuss.
Okay, so the junior heavyweight tag title. So Asuki versus Seki was so fucking good. If you look at Asuki's first reign, except for Rising Haito, he faced a lot of older generation of All Japan. So Kotaro Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, Minoru, and Katayashi. And now he can add Seki Yoshioka. I know he's not like, an old school guy like those other guys for All Japan, but he is old All Japan. So I'm going to add him to the list. I just loved it. The way they paced this match with Seki looking like the main senior and Asuki having to fight his way back. There was a bit where Asuki started to gain in speed and Seki's like, no. That's not how you run. I'm going to show you what speed really is. His kicks were brutal and nasty, but so pleasing to watch since he's a master at it. I did like Asuki's fight and comeback. So he got the win with his trusty Firebird Splash and he enters his third junior championship reign. Even though cage match, as of me writing this, still has Seki as champion. So please update that because that's wrong. But one thing I like about the Firebird Splash is the first time he busted out was years back when he pinned Hikaru Sato to get his first ever championship shot. And now all these years later, he uses it to win the third junior champion in his reign. And I know like people update their moves and get new ones like Junior was busting out like a new finisher every match he was in, but Asuki keeps his Firebird Splash. And I know like adding new moves to your moveset is good, but I'd like to see him win with this since like I've been on this reign with his Firebird Splash and saw him hit it live. So, yeah, I loved it. I thought Seki was a fantastic opponent for Asuki. He was, the person Asuki really, really needs to beat someone just so good. And so just, he's just fantastic at what he does. I just been, yeah, I don't know. I just love it so much. Like, I just really, really want people to watch this because the juniors are just coming to every big show and like knocking the heavyweights out of the water. They're stealing the show, and this definitely did.
I mean, he's one of these guys that, like, Seki had, he was trained in the All Japan Dojo, and I don't think he even got to make his debut before that, the Muto split where he went to Wrestle One. So I'm so glad for his career that he got to come and wrestle in All Japan and to kind of go full circle like that. And just he this won't be the last time he holds the title if I have anything to say about it. I don't know. Somehow, if I'm ending up booking All Japan, though, if anyone's listening to this that has any sway with this, we've managed to suggest a few things on this show I really want to see. Yeah, look, this match was fucking awesome. This was on the same level as a lot of the great matches that we saw during the tournament, and my personal favorite match from this show. I think they actually managed to outdo the Triple Crown title match for this one. I said earlier, I was happy to skip over that, but there's actually a few other things I think on this card we probably should talk about if that's okay. So, first up, just this match with Hideki Suzuki and beating Rio in a way. This looked like a complete squash. I don't know what was with this match. Suzuki just beat the crap out of in a way. Just really, really violent match. Really fun, but I don't know what's going on with that. In a way, since scored a big win, but definitely didn't like seeing him get squashed in this one. And the other one I really wanted to highlight, very quickly here, is I think we have to talk about it, right? As far as Havoc now having their full team and having Odyssey on this card,
Oh
and
yeah, I got notes in the notes section.
okay, I don't know if you watched this match just with the participants and all. There's two participants in there I know you wouldn't want to watch, but I just think for all the problems that come with bringing Odyssey in, I don't think he has enough upside or enough benefit to justify it. You can't point to him and say, well, he's a really good wrestler. He's a fantastic worker. He justifies the controversy of bringing him in any way. Havoc is a really cool team, but I think get rid of Odyssey. We people with these kind of allegations against them in professional wrestling. There's zero tolerance for it. Get rid of him. Replace him with Dan Tamura in this faction, and you've got a much by default. What were your notes there?
For Odyssey. Okay. So, when they announced he was joining Havoc, it was the same day as they announced the Royal Road participants. And something clicked in my brain when he showed up. Like when he said his name, I was like, oh no, please no. Like I have heard that name before. I know there's bad things, linked to that name. Like, please, no. I said it about 50 times. So he is the former Odyssey Jones in WWE. They did fire him for domestic violence. They had allegations. I read he does say he's innocent, but for WWE to scrub everything of him. And to say, like, basically say he never existed makes me think, like, something's wrong there. Like, no, like, look at who they just brought back, really. And, like, so just scrub this guy and say, like, he never existed, basically. It's just like, no, something's definitely up there. Like, what? Like, no. I don't believe, like, it's just,
Yeah.
no.
I'm sorry to bring us down on such a dour note with what has been such a very positive episode, and there's so much.
We had to address it, honestly.
We absolutely have to. One of the few down points.
Well, let's bring it back up with June and Yuma. So one of my favorite game series is the Yakuza slash Like a Dragon Caesar series, whatever you want to call it. I love those games. So seeing Yuma pre-match video acting like a character from those games, ripping off his suit, jacket, and his shirt in one smooth motion made me smile and laugh so much, like a fool, really. I was like, this is why he's my favorite wrestler. This definitely. The match was good, but not as good as the juniors. Surprise, surprise. I think the juniors are running this show, really. I definitely think this is one of June's better title defenses, though. They work really, really well together, these two. Yuma works great as a guy you beat up and has to make the big comeback, while June is a big, mean guy. He'll just throw you around the ring. He had some really, really great suplexes, including a stalling suplex. And Yuma had a really, really cool powerbomb June out of the corner. You didn't really see that from Yuma. So that was cool. June's finisher, Days Gone, where he just drops Yuma from such a high. And like when he drops him, he like pushes him down to the mat. I was like, holy shit, that looks so cool. And painful, actually. So this was another successful defense for June. We have to wait who wins the Royal Road for his challenger next. So it is going to be a bit of time before we get another Triple Title match. He does close out the show by eating some watermelon, and he looks so happy eating this watermelon. I'm just like, I can't be too angry if he's so happy eating a watermelon. I will say it is disappointing to see Yuma lose, but one good thing is that if you win, we don't have to see him lose a Triple Crown title belt in Sapporo for the third year in a row. So that's a plus. And I just want to point out what June tweeted after the match. So he said, when I joined All Japan, I didn't know my right from my left, and it was Yuma who taught me the basics. The reason I can stand in the ring as Triple Crown champion is because of you. Thank you. So that's just incredibly sweet and very, very respectful. And it just made me like June that much more.
So I learned after this that I can't even remember particularly like what the place was that this match took place in, like what city, but
Matsumoto.
that town is known for watermelon. That's why he did that.
Ah, that makes sense.
It makes more sense than the randomness of he normally likes sweets, but now he's on a diet or something. And so it kind of made more sense than that. And but yeah, that's so cool that he tweeted that or that he wrote that, because just it was maybe this was my second favorite of his defenses. He had a really great one against Hideki Suzuki. That's my favorite at the moment. In both cases, I thought the other guy was gonna win. I thought for sure that Yuma had this, and I was getting ready for it. I was getting ready to cheer for his win, and then it didn't happen. And they got me. And they had me with the near falls in this, but yeah, really good match. Not as good as the match just before it, but this is the year of the juniors, so we can't really kind of hold that against them too much. They came second to the best one.
I get so nervous watching wrestling, especially when Yuma's in a big title match. So I was watching it on my phone in my room, and I just couldn't take it anymore because there were so many near falls. Like, I watched it later, but I got out my Switch and I was like covering the screen and just like having the sound on, so like I can hear when someone gets a two count or someone gets like, the three count. I couldn't watch like the last 5 minutes because, like you said, there was so many near falls. And yeah, I don't know. This match
Yeah.
was good though. I really want to say like, the juniors really stole this whole month and last month, but like this match was a really, really good triple crown match. And I know people are down on June's reign, and it's just like too bad.
You once described it that Kento Miyahara is a real brat when it comes to the kickouts, because he does it at the last possible second,
He's
last
the
possible.
worst.
It's so tense. I swear that Yuma has been going to the Kanto school of kickouts, because there were so many in this match where I didn't see them coming. And yeah, just it was good. It wasn't the best match on the card, but there's no shame in it in this case. And yeah, look, I love that bit where Yuma wins the belt, then you loses it in Hokkaido. I'm a sucker for that. I was hoping we could see it the third year in a row, because at least this time it would be against someone better than Davey Boy Smith Jr. And I say that as someone who wanted Davey Boy Smith Jr. to join All Japan, who was happy when he initially did, right up until that match, right up until he won, right up until he thanked Johnny Ace for getting ready for All Japan. Yeah, just anyway, anything would be better than that, right? As far as he goes to so many other wrestlers and have it be better. Another outsider, actually, we didn't talk about this. He'll be relevant for this show, and he'll be relevant for what we're going to talk about next. Just really quickly here, Daisuke Sakamoto was the street tag partner, and he was X, and so he's going to be X in the Royal Road tournament. He's a fucking phenomenal wrestler who's toward the end of his career at the moment, probably going to retire sooner rather than later, and was teaming with Honda on this show. He's had some great matches with All Japan. He recently left Big Japan, so I'm so glad that he's doing shows with All Japan before he, I guess, retires relatively soon. He was injured pretty badly recently, so hopefully that's all okay. But yeah, it was so good to see him on this one. And yeah, he should be a big part of the next thing we have to talk about.
Yeah, he had one of my favorite tag matches this year where he was tagging with Hideki Suzuki all the way back in January against the Saito brothers. So I'm definitely always happy when he shows up. Because we know he's such a fantastic wrestler. It's like when Fumanori Abe shows up, you know what you're going to get because they're both good wrestlers. Not just good wrestlers, sorry. That's, are good enough for them. They're fantastic wrestlers.
Yep. I mean, like, he had that amazing match with Dan Tamura last year's show,
Oh
just on
yeah. Like the
post.
pure wrestling match was called something like that.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, just we could make this more praise for him, but more coming up. He'll be on the next tournament.
Yeah. So Royal Road Tournament is the next one coming up, like very, very soon actually. So round one matches are Jun Saito versus Ranyabe, Hokuto Mori versus Zion, Shota Oshino versus Dayboy Smith Jr. Riki Honda versus Kumarashi, Kento Miyahara versus Kengo Mashimo, Yuma Aoyagi versus Nai Nomura, Nuriki Doi, who is replacing Rei Saito, who was actually injured, He's versing Daisuke Sakamoto and Hideki Suzuki versing Odyssey. So it's just like Yuma Oyagi versus Nai Nomura match. Like, I am 100% here for it. Like, when they showed that match the same time they showed the Nai Nomura was coming back, I like, had a couple of tears in my eyes because these two that held the tag team belts, they have the Nomoyagi tag team, which I hope we see in Tag League. So I'm definitely looking forward to that match so much.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how good that is as far as like a first round match goes too. I think Naoya's getting the win for what that's worth too.
Like the whole tournament?
For that, I'm not going to predict the whole tournament yet, but for that round, I think he's defeating Yuma, and Yuma's not getting out of the first round again because that's too good a bit and too funny to not do again.
So just
No.
quickly, if you're unaware, Yuma has never, ever made it past the first round in the Railroad. And it's been about what, like 8, 9 years now. So
It
like
would be the
it's a
ninth.
long losing streak.
And it's just so funny because every time he does that, he sells it really, really well. And just if you get a good bit, you don't give it up just yet. You hold on to it while you can. I think eventually, maybe make next year the year he finally gets into the second round. Have him lose there, maybe. But I think for this one, like absolutely, he should be dropping that match to Naoya, who hasn't been back all that long and who is just we could run out of words to use for how incredible a wrestler he is.
I did want to mention this during the Triple Crown match, but I forgot. One of the reasons I wanted Yuma Oyagi to win is that, like, he promised, like, when he is Triple Crown champion, he'll defend it against Nai Nomura. And just we've never had that yet. And I really, really want to see that because these two are good friends, but Yuma just, I feel like he annoys the hell out of Naoya. They're so different. You can just tell by, like, their social media uses and stuff. Like, he basically bullied Naoya to come back to All Japan like a couple of years ago, saying he's like a basement champion, all this stuff. Yeah, it's just that I'm really, really looking forward to getting that match one day. Fingers crossed we actually get it.
Yuma somehow wins this tournament, somehow breaks this. Never mind what I said earlier. Yuma needs to win. Then he gets the Triple Crown. Then he defends it in Hokkaido against Naoya. And then again loses it in Hokkaido. That might be even better than repeating the bit.
I'm just looking at the card and looking who like is signed to All Japan and Jun Saito hasn't defended against, and it's like Ayabe, who he's facing in the first round, Hokuto Mamore, which I don't even really think the Triple Crown is in his future right now, and like Shota Ishino. That's like it who signed and he hasn't defended against yet. Like, I'm always hoping for like an Ishino win and Ishino Triple Crown reign. For years I've been hoping that, and like I'm happy that they're giving him something to do. I was really happy with the tag team with the Zion, but just like adding Odyssey, I'm just like, I think, who did I say this with? I think it was Milo who was saying Dan and Inoue could fit into Havoc so well. Like, they don't really have anything with it. And Dan had this thing with Shota Ishino where they were like tagging, and it was when like Ishino was with Sawama. So what was it called? I
It
love
was
it.
called the,
Runaway Suplex.
yeah.
Yeah, so they've had history. They wrestle similar, and like Inoue as like the little brat younger brother who just doesn't want to listen, just wants to beat up everybody.
And then you have someone who can be in the faction who is destined to end up either trying to implode it or being booted out because he's that annoying. And you have a built-in storyline there. It would be logical, and it would be so much better than having someone who makes his way into the company because he used to be in WWE and they, for some reason, associate that with being popular or being a big star. That's all I can think about for why he's in there. And yeah, I don't think we've buried him enough, but yeah, definitely. I think including some of those guys in this faction, giving them something to do, would be a better step, but.
We blame Suzuki.
Well, I blame Odyssey for being Odyssey.
Yeah, true. I'm just really disappointed. Like, we got Davey Boy Smith, and like I kind of block out his matches, and now just like Odyssey. Like, I really, really, really like the team of Shota Ishino and Zion. They work so well together. And now you have this guy, it's just like, I don't want to watch his matches because something's up with him. To scrub him completely, like, nah.
And plus, like Zion, right? His whole thing, made his way into the Carnival. No one had really particularly knew who he was outside of his WWE stuff. If you had seen it, he was one of these wrestlers who came in with very little expectation and did really, really well from where I sat in the tournament. I loved seeing him use the Gansu Bomb and drop his opponent on his head. Call back to Misawa, call back to old All Japan with doing that. And then just kind of to have him in a situation where he's teaming with someone like this, as far as Odyssey goes, taints his situation too much. So just anyway.
Well, there are some positives, I guess. Like we said, Yuma versus Naoya, of course. Kento versus Kengo is going to be so great. I think they had a they won the Champion Carnival in the same block, and they had a really good match. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure they did because it's like Kengo and Kento. Like they're not going to have a bad match.
They had an amazing match back in 2016 as well, when Kento was the Triple Crown champion for the first time, and Kengo was with the company full time, I think, or at least a little bit more frequently. And yeah, just really awesome match, worth checking out. Like maybe Kento had two matches as champion that were like the ones that made him. There was this one, and there's against. The other really great match that Kento had as champion was against Jun Akiyama. Him against Akiyama and him against Kengo Mashimo were the things that made him a viable champion. And so there's a lot of history there. And you just know they're going to get a quality match. So having that in the first round is nuts. I think it's great that they've done it.
I'm also looking forward to Jun Saito versus Rene Abe. Like, Jun, is he going to be, going to go out at the first round? He is Triple Crown champion. And like, it happened twice in a row to Yuma, but like, Jun's a bit different from Yuma. And Rene Abe is the defending champion. Like when they had the press conference and have him came out first, I'm like, what's he holding? I totally forgot he won it last year. And yeah, so back to back, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Why not? But I don't know. There's some really good matches to look forward to in the show. Sorry, tournament, I should say. Like even like Doi versus Sekimoto, that'll be fun.
Those two are very different wrestlers, but Doi is always good. Him being the smaller of the two is an interesting dynamic. Sekimoto ev is good in everything he does, so I expect surprise people with how good this will be.
Yeah. Would you like to say anything else about the railroad? Or should we move on?
Oh, a tournament that I'm surprisingly looking forward to. It's maybe the one that, like, the announcement was certainly the announcement that I've enjoyed the most out of all. You know, the part where they show you who's going to be in a tournament in a given year. You get a hype video that will show you all the participants. This one was actually my favorite out of all tournaments so far this year, because we had genuine surprises in, there being an X, in there being Naoya Nomura. So actually really high expectations for the Royal Road tournament this year, which is nice to be able to say, because it's traditionally not always the best tournament of the year, but absolutely in this case, I think it has been, or demonstrated to be an exciting tournament with some hype behind it. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Like it is a bit different from the junior tournament because that was round robin. This is single elimination. But for me, the junior tournament is like head and shoulders, like above Champion Carnival this year. I want to see how well the Roro stacks against it because it's going to be hard to beat the junior tournament for me.
I mean, they've got some of the these opening round matches that it gives them a chance to do that, the chance to move, but absolutely it would be a hard task to beat that tournament overall. That one, yeah, really above and beyond as far as quality goes, as far as kind of there being now no slouches, participants and stuff. Whereas this one, it does have one or two wrestlers in there that you absolutely just don't want to see.
Oh, so we're going to move on to match of the month and wrestle of the month. I changed it a bit so much of the tournament and wrestle of the tournament. So, my wrestle of the tournament, Rising Hayato, hands down. He wrestled with so much heart and passion. And I would like to have seen him get the win, but I get why they have Usky, to get the win then get the belt. He's back on the top of the junior division. He is their ace. But for Rising Hayato, he was just too good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to follow suit in that one. He was just amazing in this tournament, and I really loved his matches, both on the opening night and on the last night of the tournament. They were my favorite two matches for this one.
So for match of the tournament, I had to really think hard about this. Like Dan versus Abe, Hayato versus Usky, and Inoue versus Seki were all like front runners to me, but I had to go with the finals. These two are just like I always say this, Fukuhima Anzai and Riki Honda, but these two are just generational rivals and they're gonna be going for years. And it's just so good. I just loved it.
Yeah, again, I hate to be repetitive here, but it was my favorite one of the tournament as well. I think I'd add the caveat that people my kind of my 1A or my other one that people should check out would have to be from the opening night with Hayato against Seki Jirka, because those guys have an interesting chemistry. But absolutely, I think there's no beating having the juniors in Ota Ward, give them time. Put them in the main event. There's something about that where they were given a chance to work a full-on match, a full-length match, and one that just sort of demonstrated the All Japan style as well. Yeah, it's a very interesting match and one that too many people are sleeping on. And it's definitely going to be somewhere in my overall match of the year and definitely in my All Japan match of the year list.
Yeah, this tournament, like we were saying, like the whole time, it was just too good. You could really put on any match from it and really, really enjoy it. Like we said, check out Dan versus Abe, Hayato versus Asuki, Inoue versus Seki, Hayato versus Seki, basically anyone versus Seki, really. Even the finals, Asuki versus Seki was so good. It was actually really close for me, but I'm like, no, I'll stick to tournament matches for match of the tournament. No, the juniors, just like, congratulations. You did so well. And I'm so happy that, yeah, they got the spot. So we have reached the end of another episode. I want to thank you all for listening and supporting Jumping Knee Pod. You can find me at Sister Jessie and Roro72 on Twitter and also on Blue Sky at Sister Jessie. And Jonathan, where can people find you?
You can find me at Jonathan Foy on the terrible website known as X. I'm locked down on that one, so you might need to send me a request before that. Otherwise, same name, same handle, just my name, at Blue Sky. Talking as much as I can about wrestling, and my books are available on Amazon as well if you're interested in All Japan and its broader history. I kind of go into that a little bit there as well. I've had the chance this week to hopefully convert one of my friend's kids to reading and watching All Japan Pro Wrestling stuff. So, yeah, as much as we can, I think we need to convert children to watching this sort of stuff. So, looking forward to hopefully making getting to watch some matches with him and hopefully making some new wrestling fans through that process.
Yes, please buy his books. I'll put the link in the description. But I always love talking to Jonathan. Like he's so knowledgeable about All Japan. I feel like a little kid, like, well, I like Yuma. And he's like, yeah, but Jun Akiyama. No, but no,
Humor is
Jonathan, like you're so
everything.
good to talk to about this. And I'm so glad to always have you on the podcast.
Yuma is amazing as far as historical All Japan wrestlers go. Like he's right up there.
Yeah.
Like he'd stack up against any of them. Like current All Japan is just as good as it ever was. People who only ever watched the 90s pro like the 90s kind of product and then claim to be All Japan fans are some of my least favorite people.
I know you're sick, so thank you for coming on. Like, it's been pretty crappy for both of us, but we've made it through a whole episode. We was It's probably like the most positive episode the whole year we've had. So,
Outside of Odyssey.
yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. And thank you all once again. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Ring
Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.